that until they don't. Do you really believe, and I believe that God can change everything about us, even our attitude? How many of you are sitting by somebody right now that could use a change of attitude? Don't look! But we all need one here and there. Am I right or wrong? Come on. There were two boys, two brothers. They were at breakfast and they were fighting over the last chocolate chip pancake. And so they were arguing back and forth. They're going back and forth. The two brothers are going back and forth. And mom hears from the kitchen. She says, "Boys, what would Jesus do?" And Billy looked at his brother, Johnny, and he said, "Go ahead, Johnny, you be Jesus." Yeah, we all want somebody else to be Jesus. Come on, am I right or wrong? As long as you're being Jesus, I can be free just to be me, which is anything but Jesus. And so today, we're going to continue what we've been doing, and we're working through the book of Philippians in the New Testament. It's a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and so it's a letter. And so last week was chapter 1, so guess what this week is? Come on, somebody. And so we're going to do 18 verses today. We're going to read through 18 verses in the Bible, and I'm just going to highlight some things here. And so whenever I think of Philippians, I think of Philippian me out. Come on, somebody. That was my dad joke of the day. You'll get that later. Come on. Here we go here. So let's think about Philippians here. Philippians. And it's a church in Philippi. And if you were to read Acts chapter 16, now the book of Acts earlier, in Acts 16, they started the church in Philippi. And so why am I bringing this up? Because there were three main players that helped start the church in Philippi, the Apostle Paul being there with Silas and Timothy and Luke. There was four of them on a missionary trip. And they started this church here. And so there were three people. There was this woman named Lydia, she was a businesswoman who sold purple stuff. Okay, that's what we know about her. She had purple stuff. She sold purple clothes and purple scarves. She had a purple industry, okay? And so that's what we know. And then her household met Jesus. So that's number one. And then number two, there was a slave girl who was a fortune teller. And she was... Literally, the Bible communicates, the writers in Acts said that she was demon possessed and she got healed. So first we have Lydia, the businesswoman, and then we have this slave girl who was a fortune teller, and she gets saved. And then the third big player here, he's a jailer, and he was the jailer keeping Paul and Silas locked up in jail. A miraculous thing happened. How many of y'all know that God's still a God of the miraculous? Okay, and their chains fell off, the doors opened, and they're walking out, and this jailer in this moment was about to kill himself. He was about to kill himself because he knew if he let these prisoners out, he was going to die anyhow. So he was going to literally, he took a sword, he's going to kill. They said, "Don't do that." He says, "Hey, don't do that." They went to his house, his whole household got saved. So here, I want you to think about this. There's this Lydia who just meets Jesus. She's a businesswoman. There's a slave girl who told fortunes. And there's a jailer who was just about to kill himself. And the Apostle Paul said, "This is a church plant waiting to happen." Come on, somebody. That's really what happened. I want you to picture this. See, we think everybody got to be perfect. And there's people in the room. And why am I saying this? There's people in the room right now, right here, right now, that you have written yourself off. You have put so many limitations on you that you can't, you won't, and you'll never be able to please God because your circumstances, because of your past, because of maybe where you have been in dark places mentally and emotionally. You have written yourself off. "Well, I'm just a businessman, or I'm just a carpenter, or I'm just a school teacher, or I'm just a car sales," whatever you may. See, you put limitations on you, and God doesn't see you according to your limitations. There's people in the room right now, and there's people in here that you've battled a lot of spiritual things in your life. You're like that slave girl who battled a lot, and you've written yourself off. You say, "If anybody knows my past, God could, I could never be used. They would write me off." And I want to let you know, God didn't write you off. No, see, you got to realize this. The Bible's written to us right now, and there's people in this room right now. You're struggling. You want to believe that God could use you, but you're not really sure because only God uses people up front or uses people with bigger personalities. God is not ruled by your personality. Notice in none of those situations I just mentioned to you did they stop and say, the Apostle Paul say, here, do this gift assessment. He didn't do that. No, there was a calling assessment. Will you answer the call of God? And if you'll answer the call of God, you're in. Come on, somebody. See, who thought this was a good idea? The birth of this church here is happening here. And so Paul, he's writing this letter to them that's very, very personal. It's very spontaneous. It's very joy-filled. It would be like this. Let me just try to make this real to you today. This church... my brother Gary, Pastor Gary, back way back in the back there, you saw him on the screen. That wasn't me. He's in the back. He's really here, and that's not me. I have to tell everybody that's not me. When he's on the screen, everybody they get confused. Okay, I say he's much older. Okay, he's much older, much much older. Okay, that makes him much wiser too. But I'm okay with that. Come on. And that would be like, you know, this church was planted in 1990. In 1990, it was planted, and then a couple years ago, Pastor Ben, 3 years ago today, 3 years ago today. See, I wasn't even a father. Pastor Ben took it 3 years ago. Oh, my goodness. Time flies when you're having fun. This is great. This is awesome. And you're doing a great job, doing awesome. God's not done here, right? Come on. And so this would be like if Pastor Gary turned it over, and now he's running around the world, as you saw on screen. And he's, you know, helping pastors, planting churches. He's doing what he's called to do. He's everywhere. And so this would be as if Pastor Gary stopped and he wrote a letter to Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. You know what? I think it would be kind of fun if Pastor Gary would do that. How many of y'all want to hear that letter? As a matter of fact, I'm prophesying there's going to be a message in the upcoming months that Pastor Gary's going to write a letter, and he's going to give a letter to Pastor Ben. And it's going to be a letter of what he would say to you. And he's going to use the Bible, though. He's not going to create words. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Is that good? Are you going to do that? Come on, somebody. There we go. Yeah, well, I just kind of put you on the spot right now. What are you going to say? Come on. But this is what this is. I'm trying to pull you into the story. Because sometimes in the Bible, we have this ideal or we romanticize the Bible. And this is what it was really like. The Apostle Paul left, and now he's writing a letter, and he's actually in jail in Rome. Okay, so he's in jail, and he's writing here a letter here. And so this is the big idea. You ready for the big idea? Come on, if you're going to preach, you should have a big idea. So I don't have a little idea. I got a big idea. Are you ready for it? Are you sure you're ready? Jesus' example changes everything. Jesus' example changes everything. But he begins with my attitude, my attributes, in my actions. Jesus wants to change your attitude. So, he does. And he wants to change my attributes, what we're known for. He wants to change me from the inside out. And he wants to change my actions, what I'm doing in obedience. And I want to walk you through these verses here today as these 18 verses. Are you ready for 18 verses? A couple of you. Come on. I think there was more groaning than there was yes. Come on, somebody. Come on, are you ready for all 18? Yes. Come on, are you really ready? Yes. Come on, you're not going home until you get all 18 verses. Come on. Okay, come on. Come on, where's your faith at? Come on. Here we go, verse 1, Apostle Paul writing, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. And here's the first two verses. The Apostle Paul is writing here, and he's saying, listen, I want you to agree wholeheartedly. I want you to agree wholeheartedly here. And that means working together with one mind and one purpose. One mind, one purpose. And so I'm speaking to you today, and that God's still goal for Bridge City Church and right here at Brighton Heights, that you would move together with one mind and one purpose. This is what he's looking for. He's looking for united hearts. But I want to explain to you that unity and agreement are two different things. See, many people think if we're going to be in unity, we have to agree on everything, and that's not true. How many of you are married? Come on, you know what I'm talking about here. I mean, my wife and I, we can't even go grocery shopping and agree. I mean, there's times we go grocery shopping, and God help us if we go hungry. You know you're going to make bad decisions then, right? But my wife, she wants to make it an experience. She wants it to be an experience we do together. It's going to be wonderful, okay? And me, I want to beat my time through the grocery store that we had last week. Come on, somebody. So we have a disagreement right there. But I'm going to tell you this. We have unity. When we leave there, we're going to eat. Come on, somebody. You know, I mean, how many of you have done a house project? You may disagree on the color of paint, even here at the church. Disagree on the paint, or disagree on this, or disagree on the theme for vacation Bible school, or disagree on that. But how many of you know, at the end of the day, we're going to accomplish something? See, I want to try to explain to you. See, you can have one heart and one, you can have one mind and one purpose, but you don't have to agree on everything. It all depends on, are we going to take on Jesus? We're going to take on his mindset here. You see, Jesus prayed for unity in John 17. He prayed that we would be unified. Jesus prayed for us in John 17. In Acts chapter 2, they had unity. They had unity of heart. They had unity of resources. And then also what we find is the apostles kept writing about unity. Unity is really important here. Verse 3, here it is. This is the word many of you need right now. Here it is. Don't be selfish. How many of y'all could use that word right now? Come on. Don't try to impress others. Yeah, be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take in interest in others. You know, one thing should mark us when we serve Christ, when we're Christ followers, we think of other people. How could we possibly accomplish together what we did in Pakistan thinking about ourselves? You don't do that. You don't do that thinking about yourself. You do that thinking about others. You see, others become important. We care about others. Our speech is about others. Selfish, a person only concerned with their own welfare. And this, I'm only concerned about me. We live in a culture, we live in a society that is self-absorbed. Am I right or wrong? Everybody's self-absorbed. We're absorbed in ourselves. We're absorbed in our own thing. We're absorbed with our own thoughts. And I don't know if you know this or not, but you know, like we all think we have the best ideas. How many of you know that you have the best ideas? And the world would be a lot better place if everybody thought like you. Come on. Come on. Be honest with me. Shame the devil. You're in church. Come on. Shame him. Yeah, we do. We all think that way. I have the best ideas, and if people would only see things my way, the world would be a lot better place. We do. That's being selfish. That's been thinking I know everything and I don't know everything. The Apostle Paul is saying here, like, hey, man, don't be selfish. Don't be concerned with just you. See, the Apostle Paul, I believe, was actually addressing something in chapter 4. In chapter 4, there were two women with a disagreement. And these two women had a disagreement. And there were people picking sides of which side of the agreement they were going to be on. And so then there was conflict, and they were arguing in church. Some of the conflicts were over the way that you dress in church. Some of it was like, what kind of soups do you serve in church? I'm just kidding. I made that part up. But some of you will get that just a little bit later during Slurping Soup Sunday. Come on, somebody. And there were all these arguments. And there's always going to be a choice to argue over church. There's always going to be a choice. There's always going to be a disagreement. But we have to say, I want to have unity. I'm not going to think only about me. I'm going to think about something greater. Are you with me? See, this is what the Apostle Paul is saying in the Word of God for us right now. But we all get selfish. Well, who picked this? Who picked that? Okay, verse 5. Then here it is. He gives us an example to follow. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Attitude. So he gives us Jesus. How many of you know Jesus is a good example? I think he's a good example. Come on. He had the attitude of unity, humility, and obedience. Unity, humility, and obedience. This was the example set before us. So this is what we want our attitude to be. What is our attitude? Our attitude is an inner perspective that shows itself in outward behavior. How many of you realize you don't have to announce your attitude? It shows up way before you do. You never have to show up at work and say, you know, I have a bad attitude today. Just stand there for 2 minutes and everybody will know. No, see, but you know what's, no, it's also true? We all think, because we're so self-deceived, that we can hide our attitude better than other people can. Am I right or wrong? No, we do. We think, well, they have a bad attitude because they can't control themselves. Nobody can see mine. How are you? I'm great. I'm just so happy. Jesus changed my life. He changes everything. Oh, no, we don't call it a bad attitude. We just say we have a mood. I have a bad mood. I'm in a bad mood. No, it's you have a bad attitude. It's an inner perspective. It's something on the inside churning that's all about you, and we got to get you to the end of you so we can get to Jesus. See, how many of y'all, your home, where you live, would be much better if you had more unity, humility, and obedience? No, see, this affects our whole life. This affects our Monday through Saturday. How many work somewhere? Maybe the people you work with. If you put this, these are our values, unity, humility, and obedience. How many of y'all would like that for three values at work? How many of y'all things would change, right? This is from the Bible. This is what the Apostle Paul communicated here. But you don't have to tell people about your attitude. It's there. And a lot of people, we just think we can hide it here, and we can't. It's not about title. It's not about position. That's what we see. Jesus was equal with God, but he didn't run around saying, hey, everybody, where's all the people? I think there should be more people here. He just showed up and did what he was supposed to do, obeying the Father, unified with the Father, in humility here. Why do I say that? In verse 7, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. Jesus gave up his divine privileges. He was in heaven. Are you with me? No, he was in heaven. I don't think you understand. We don't understand sometimes. Like, he was in heaven and he chose to leave. He chose to leave for you and for me. I don't think we've fully grasped that in its fullness. I think we allow that somehow to leave us there. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. And when it says that he emptied himself, when he appeared, when he took emptied himself of his divine privileges, it means he literally poured them out. He poured out all his privilege. And you know what? We're in our culture, we're consumed with privilege. We're consumed with title. We're consumed with people that are popular. Am I right? I mean, why else are 700,000 people coming to Pittsburgh next weekend? We're consumed with popularity. We're consumed with all these things. But Jesus emptied himself, poured out his divine privileges here, and he humbled. That means he to make low, being totally dependent on God. That's what Jesus did. Like, he made himself low. He humbled himself. No reliance on me here. But I want to let you know, nowhere in the Bible are you going to see that God's going to make you humble. Humility is something we're supposed to do. If you're wondering where God is and why he doesn't show up, it's because we're not making ourselves humble. We're not choosing the low place. We're not choosing the place of servanthood. See, if you're waiting for God to make you humble, by the time he shows up, it's too late. No, It doesn't go well when God starts humbling you. Are we going to be a people that humble ourselves? Are we going to be a people that choose the place of a servant? Are we going to be a people, not just here at church, but at home and at work, in our community, with our finances, with the way we behave? Is our attribute going to be, wow, that person really has humility? Or that person is really full of themselves? Or they're making a fool of themselves? Which is it? Humble yourself. Being totally low. Jesus' attitude and mindset, let me just make sure you're catching it here. Real simple, real straightforward. Jesus was God, but he didn't cling to his rights. You're a child of God, but we give up our rights. We give up our rights. He emptied himself and he took on human form. Are you willing to be emptied? He humbled himself. He took the low position every time. He became obedient to death, even on the cross. I just want to make sure you caught what I just said. I'm just trying to outline it for you because I don't want you to miss this. I want this to mark my life. How about you? Come on. I want this to mark my life. That's what I'm looking at. So attitudes and attributes of our lives, what do we want them to be here? What's my attitude? We need to be humble. We need to choose humility. Am I right? I need to choose humility. Be like-minded. Unity is a choice. And I want to let you know this. Attitude is a choice. Your attitude is your choice. I didn't say what happens to you is your choice. There's a lot of stuff that happens to you that's not your choice. But we get to choose our attitude. And you can choose it. Well, I can't because things are so bad. No, you can choose your attitude. As a matter of fact, any bad attitudes, they're a dime a dozen. Your boss doesn't pay you to have a bad attitude. You can get that for free. Right? No, I want this to sink in. I really, really do. Because sometimes when we hear things like this, we rate ourselves way above where we think we are. And it's like, no, Rick Paladin needs to be humble more often here and stop doing things out of selfish ambition. And how about this? I value others above myself. I just want to value other people. That's what I want to do. How about you? See, this is what marks our lives here. And we don't have unity until we try to do something. The only time you have unity is when you try to do something. See, unity is not a feeling. Unity is when you accomplish something together. If you're not accomplishing something together, you probably don't know if you have unity or not. You don't. All we have is feelings. I have feelings of happy. I have feelings of sad. I have feelings of glad. But no, if we're as a church are going to accomplish something great, we're going to need to have unity. And the only way we're going to find out if we have unity is if we do something that you don't like. Then we're going to find out if we're really in love with Jesus like we say we are, or we're just in love with my great ideas. Verse 9. Therefore, all because of the first eight verses Paul wrote, now he goes to verse 9. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor, gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Whose name is it really all about? His name is Jesus. Listen, it's his name. We defend his name. It's not about my name. It's not about your name. It's about the name of Jesus. So whatever glorifies the name of Jesus, count us in. See, we have people all over the place worried about their name. You got to bury your name, and you got to take on the name of Jesus here. See, if we are the bride of Christ, that's what the Bible refers to us as, and he's the groom, we need to take on his name, lose our identity for his good and his glory, and his name is Jesus. That's the name we defend. That's the name it's about. That's the name that is, listen, at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. This should burn in us. Because listen, I tell people all the time, every tongue is going to confess Jesus. Every knee is going to bow. You either do it now or later. If you wait till later, it's not good. Come on, is this burning in our hearts, church? This isn't burning in us. It's this mental ascent. As long as I'm good with God, then you can go do what you want. No, there's a real heaven and a real hell. And Jesus is the only name that can save us. He's the only name that we can cry out to. It's the only name that saves. Do you really believe that? Because once you do, it changes everything. It changes everything. And the reason our lives aren't being changed is because we fail to believe that the name of Jesus really can change everything. It's just one choice is another. I can choose whatever I want. I can do what I feel is right. As long as he stays up there and as long as he grades on the curve, we're good. And there's a lot of Christians in churches that are hoping that God grades on the curve when really he grades according to an open book test, and it's called the Bible. Are you with me? See, what I'm trying to get us to do today, church, is just fall back in love with Jesus, whatever he asks. I want to change my attitude, because if it doesn't line up, and I want to change my words, and I want to change my attributes of what's seen about me, not so people can look at me and say, oh, that's great. No, I'm just like you. I'm selfish. You got quiet. Come on, am I right or wrong? I like what I like. Listen, we're all selfish at the end of the day. We all have apathy at the end of the day. We all have these things, but I'm saying, God, shake me. Come on, God, stir me. Come on, God, move me out of this place here. I just am working on so much, God. It's such an honor, and it's such a privilege. Do you know what an honor it is to stand up here? This is a privilege. Let's never take it just for granted. We can hear the word of God preached out loud in our country. We're taking everything for granted. And if it doesn't make me feel happy, if it doesn't make me feel a certain way, well, then I'm going to go somewhere else where I can feel happy. When really, if I'm reading these verses right, when it comes to church, our crying out should be, inconvenience me. Bring me to, help me get to the end of myself. Come on, am I right? Come on, see, this is a love for Jesus here. So what are my actions going to do here? Dear friends, verse 12. Dear friends. Hey, friends. How many of y'all are friends? How many were friends a while ago, but not now? Come on, somebody, yeah. Come on, dear friends. You always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what? Do. Come on, pleases him. These verses cause so much problems. I hear people argue with me all the time. Well, Pastor, you can't earn your salvation. No, you can't earn your salvation. It's a free gift of God. But you can sure show that you have it. Just a thought. Am I right? I mean, you could demonstrate attributes that you do have salvation. I didn't say earn it. Salvation's a finished work. But we're a work in progress. Am I right? I'm a work in progress. So I'm going to work out what God's working in. So something's working in me by the word of God. And when we worship Jesus together and we do these things, come on. So for it's God working in me. I'm a process here. Come on, that's what I want to do. That's what I'm learning to do here. By fear and trembling. It's not obligation. It's not duty. I don't have an obligation. I don't have a duty. I have a privilege and an honor to serve the King. That's what I'm talking about. It's an honor. We should be here today. And when we see downstairs, there's people working. They're not babysitting. They're imparting the word of God to young people. We should be jealous of that job. No, I'm serious. They're doing something so valuable, so serious, so great. Everybody that's serving, there's men serving around here. It's an honor and a privilege to serve. It's not a duty. We do it out of reverence. We do it out of joy. I lost my thank you. I'm sorry. I had it in my hand, and it's somewhere. It's somewhere between here and here. God knows. On your seats right here, there's a breakout VBS here. Breakout. Now, VBS stands for Vacation Bible School. Now, you got to get this in your hand. I know you're sitting on this right now. Come on. Vacation Bible School. Now, first of all, let me just deal with the frequently asked questions. Don't other churches do this? Oh, my goodness, I love that one. Yes, praise God. I hope more do. Other churches are in our competition. Last I checked, we're in a competition. It's called Heaven and Hell. Until you get that competition right in your own mind and heart, it's only going to be about you. As soon as you see Heaven and Hell that are at stake, things change. Am I right? So, Vacation Bible School with young kids here, K-5 through 5th grade here. It's coming up. Listen, you got to get signed up to serve. I expected at least two people to say amen. Come on. No, I'm serious. Well, I'm not good with kids. Well, some of you, we don't want you with your kids, with our kids. But we want you to clean up after. Some of you are really good. You can make good cookies. And we want you to make the good ones. The ones I like. No, I'm serious. You got to get signed up. And Pastor Ben's going to tell you how to do this in just a little bit. We got to start inviting everybody. I'm praying, this is my prayer, that you are so overwhelmed with kids you don't know what to do. No, I'm serious, because I'm looking around. There's a whole room full of people that can serve and can do things here. Why wouldn't we want to be overwhelmed to reach a generation? No, I'm serious. I want you to hold this in your hand. I want you to invite somebody. You're going to get signed up. You're going to serve. Why? Let me read these next verses. Do everything, verse 14, without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Do you realize if we could just have a good attitude, demonstrate attributes of Christ-likeness, obey, have our actions lined up, nobody would criticize us. Am I right? Come on. They wouldn't. You know, and I know what we're all thinking in the room here. I'm talking about other people. I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking to you today. No, seriously, I want to have a talk with you. Right here, right now. This is us. Right here. And hold firmly to the word of life. And then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run in vain, that my work was not useless. My wife Natalie and I, since February 8th, we've had a situation happening in our lives where we're just inconvenienced. And we haven't lived in our home since then. We've had a major issue happen at our house. And so we've been in a hotel for a while. Now we're living in another home right now. And we go to our home, and it's a mess. It's like a war zone right now. It's a dusty, dirty war. I mean, everything's piled up. all the, you know, it's ripped apart. And I'm so thankful that when this first happened, Natalie and I made a decision we were going to have a good attitude. I'm serious. I wish there's been a couple times we got close, but we just said, you know what? There's worse things that could happen in life. Really, we both have our health. We're both fine. We're good. Hopefully, by the end of July, maybe August, we'll get back in our home. It don't matter. Now, I wish I could tell you it was easy, but I don't want a ripped up house to ruin my story about what Jesus Christ does in my heart. I don't want the first, oh, woe is me. Took me so long to sign into a new Netflix account. No, I'm serious. I don't want that. God help me if that's what you hear and see. I just want my attitude to be, God, whatever you want. And we're learning so many lessons. We just keep talking about the lessons. Matter of fact, one day we were driving around before we had a place to live. We were looking at homes, and I'm just crying in the car. I'm just weeping because, like, God. And there was a song, there was a line in the song that said, if you don't worry, why should I? God, if you're not worried, then I'm not worried. I believe I'm speaking to hearts right now. Matter of fact, I want the whole worship team to come up front. The whole worship team. I know you're not ready, but I'm ready. No, I want to speak to your heart right now. Because there's people in the room right now that your circumstances are messing with you. Am I right or wrong? And our attitude is that we're not allowing Jesus to change our attitude. One of the biggest things I'm learning with my wife right now is how very little we need in life. We don't need a lot. We don't. But in my mind, I always need a little bit more. Come on, somebody. In my mind, I want more. It was funny. I woke up this morning, and Natalie's serving at White Oak, so she left really early. And I wanted to get a sweater, and I'm looking at her. And I said, oh, my goodness, it's at the other house. And it's all packed up, and I could never get to it. And I found this sweater, and I said, you know, I got one sweater. I think I'm good. No, I'm serious. I thought, I said, I got one. And I look good in it. I look good. I look better than the other one. Makes me look a little skinnier. Are you with me right now? See, my attitude, my attributes, my actions, I don't know what song you're going to do, but it's going to be a good one. Let me read two more verses to you. But I rejoice even if I lose my life. Verse 17. Pouring it out like a liquid offering. That's what you're going to do at Vacation Bible School. You're all going to pour your lives out like an offering. Do you know what that literally means? That means you need to take something, you pour it out. You take something really valuable to you. I really do value. I like these. I get them all the time. Forever Lime, Perrier, and you pour it out. Just pour it out. Just let it be an offering. It's for God. That's what it is. I want my life to be poured out. I want my complaining to go to it. To nil. So rather than complain, I just want to concentrate on worshiping God. Rather than do these things, I'm going to honor Him. I'm going to be consistent with private and public life. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God, and I want all of you to share that joy. Just stand to your feet right now. Just stand to your feet. There's people in the room right now where you've lost your joy. You've lost the joy with Jesus. You've lost your joy with Christ. You've lost your joy at home. You've lost your purpose. You've lost those things. I am not going to belabor this. I told you already, humility is something you have to do. I can't make you humble. only you can make you humble. I know there's over half of you right now are saying, I don't have to do anything to prove I'm humble. No, you don't have to do anything to prove you're humble, but you do have to humble yourself. That's what the Bible clearly communicates. So this is what I want you to do. If you're here today and you know that your attitude, your complaining, your whining, your attitude's been bad towards God, maybe towards other things, you want to reignite a fire of God in your heart, I want you to get out of your seats. I want you to make your way up here right now. Don't play. Don't make me beg. I don't have time for begging right now. Just come on. We're going to humble ourselves, church. Crowd your way in here. Crowd your way up here. Crowd just, God, change my heart. Change my heart. Change my heart, Lord God. Just Lord God, move in this place today. Come on. Fill in. Real close. I'll move back. Don't worry. I'll move. I won't spit on nobody. Come on. Okay, come on. We're gonna take some time here. We're not done yet. Come on, move up. Allow people to fill in behind you. Loud are you feeling it behind you? Come on. Now this is what we do. I don't know. What song are you gonna do? I don't even know. Who else? Oh, good. That's a great one. Who else is worthy? So let's just do like this. I'm gonna teach you something right now. This is how you surrender. This is how you surrender, right? Like,